Good evening. I surely would appreciate your prayers. I have a little thought on my heart tonight. I'd like to share with you, and I pray that it be a blessing. You ever think about how different we are? They say, and I assume this is true, that no one has the same fingerprints. I think that's been pretty well proven as a truth. But there's a lot of other things that's different about us. They claim genetically or in the DNA codes that we are like 99% alike. But what we are different in, we're really different in. And it makes us all different and unique. And I believe if we could see it more clearly that way, that it would make us more merciful to one another. You have gifts and capabilities that I don't have. I've seen people that could do things that I just can't do. And I'm sorry that I can't do them if it's meaningful, but it doesn't matter how much I want to do it, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I noticed that all my life, when I was young, I had the ability to jump up and grab two befores this way, pinch them, and do pull-ups by hanging to the sides of them. Almost nobody in my world could do that. My dad could do it. I could do it. My brother couldn't do it. But my brother could do something as simple as a cartwheel. Do you know I could not do a cartwheel? I tried. I'm coordinated in a lot of things, but I couldn't do a cartwheel. Now, I know what you're thinking, but I'm not going to try it anymore. It would be ugly for me at my age to try it, but I did not have, whatever it was, I couldn't master that. All that I could master, I couldn't master that. I couldn't do it. I've seen people that could hear a song, complicated to me, a song, hear that song, and could sing that song back and remember the words in a way, I can't do it. It isn't that I don't want to do it. I can't do it. Tried to do it, wanted to do it, but my mind don't work that way. So be merciful to people that's different. If you can see those things, what's a scripture in, I think it's Hebrews 12, that says that laying aside the weights and the sin. All those weights and the sin that does so easily beset us. And we don't understand each other completely like that, to say that this brother can really struggle with this because his mind's different than my mind is. And because he's facing in life that's different than me. And we're all different. Our fingerprints are different, than our heights are different. We're all different in all that, and our hair is different. And we're different the way we look and the way we sound, and we're different in all that. And someone can call me and I can recognize their voice because there's not another voice in the world that ever heard just like them. Because they're different. But we're different in so many ways, and so much of it. And I do believe if we can see that about one another, see the capacity of what we have overcome and what the Lord's helped us with. And God's amazing in what that He can do, but He didn't make me you. And if you don't mind me saying, I don't want to be you. But I definitely don't want you to be me. We don't need to be each other. Because God has made us for exactly what we are, and I'm not more important than you, and you're not more important than me, and none of the things that matter, that seems to matter. I saw a thing recently, and it was driving a political point that I'm not going to, but I thought it was an interesting idea. It showed this little cartoon type thing, and the caption was, "I'm going to give you a test. Everybody's going to get a test." And the test was to see who could climb the tree. And then it shows the contestants, and it was a monkey and a hippopotamus and an elephant, and maybe an ostrich. And we're going to give you the same test. Of course, you know what the point of that was. If I was going to hire somebody to pick coconuts, I'd pick a monkey. I'd give them all a test, and whoever could climb it, that's the one I'd want because that's what my job is. It doesn't make the monkey better than the hippo. It makes him different. My point is that we're different. There's things that a monkey can't do that a hippo can do. Get the point. Whatever God has made us to be is what we want to find the fulfillment in. He made some of us and called us to a ministry like a pulpit ministry, but he called everybody to ministry. He called everybody to for their world. I mean, yeah, of course a monkey's going to climb a tree, but he can't play in the water like the... He can't touch the ones that's out there. You have a different capacity, a different thing. You can't do everything the same. You're not supposed to, thank the Lord. You're not supposed to. And so, kind of this as a background, I want us to think about this as an idea that I am me, and God made me to be this way. It isn't justifying wrong behaviors or lesser things or anything like that. We're all needed in the kingdom. And there's a place for everybody to work and to do what God wants us to do. And some people don't have the mental capacity to do great math equations, and some do. Can we all agree? Do you know that somebody, I remember a friend of mine saying this. He went to college, on to college, and he didn't end up being an accountant, but he started out to be an accountant when he went to school. He ended up changing his major. But I remember him telling me this, and I knew it was true, but he was a very diligent, hardworking, could get his mind in on things, and he was had a lot more capacity for education than I did. But I remember telling me this. He said, "Marty, I struggle. I have to work so hard to do what a lot of people do easy." I knew that was true. He had the desire, he had the drive, but he didn't have the wiring. His mind wasn't made that way. He tried to make it that way, and he ended up being a very successful person in life, but it wasn't in accounting. Because he didn't have the capacity, really, to do that. God has made us all, folks, and I wanted to lay this as the foundation of this little thought, that it's really only God that knows really all of what we're capable of. He did not make everybody a hundredfold kind of guy. There's some 30 and some 60 and some 100. All of it's necessary and all of it's needful. I want to look at a scripture in John. The 18th chapter of John. I don't know. I might. Well, this is all good, so let's just read a little bit. 18th chapter of John. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over to the brook of Kidron, where there was a garden into which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thereto with his disciples. Judas then, having received the band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh hither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all these things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, "Who seek ye?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said unto them, "I am he." And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, "I am he," they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, "Who seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that
the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword unto thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? The cup. Now, that idea of a cup, I think, is very meaningful, and it's used in the scriptures quite a bit to as an analogy of taking something in, or of circumstances of life, of the circumstances of life. This Isaiah mentioned about the cup, I think, and about the dregs, and there's different places Jesus said in the garden, if this be possible, let this cup, this part, this thing that's befell him, let it go through me. So there's an idea here about this cup. And Jesus says here at this time, Peter was attempting to step in between the cup and Jesus' lips. He was intending on changing the circumstances here the circumstances. And Jesus' response to that was that should I not drink this cup? My father's giving me this cup. My life, my purpose, my point of existence, what I'm here for. Jesus had a cup. He had a life that was set before him. And it says here in the early readings that he knew what was going to befall him. This wasn't hidden from him. He knew what he was coming up against. He knew his mission. He knew what the Father had given him to do. I think he knew it from a long time ago. He came into this world in a certain way, in a certain plan, in a certain idea that was going to come. And he was saying to Peter, don't step in between my cup and my lips. Don't try to alter what I'm supposed to be doing here. This is from the Father. This is for me. This is what I'm about in this thing. And we know what it was. Jesus came for our salvation. Jesus came that he could fulfill the mission of his Father to redeem us back to God. This was his mission. There was only one way to do it, folks. Now, we're all different. We're all different. I can't pretend to say that my cup's going to be your cup. I don't know what all's in my cup, but the Lord gives me a cup. You have a cup. We all have a cup. We all have a situation in life. I've had the great privilege to get to the age of 62. Not everybody has. Not, that wasn't in everybody's cup. Not everybody's got to have the... I'm still healthy and well. I don't know what's in the cup from here. But I say, this is what's been in my cup. There's those around us that... I've struggled sometimes and say, what a life. What a life. My first wife had a cousin of hers that... He always made me think. I liked him a lot. And he was born... Wish I could remember it, but he was born. He ended up just in crutches all his life. He learned to walk with those, but that's all he done. He was well from there up, pretty much, but that's all that he ever done. And I've had the privilege in my life to run through the fields and climb the trees and jump the mountains and romp. And I had the privilege of feeling the wind go through my hair as I run and to dive off rock cliffs into the water. I've had the privilege of life in that way, and he never did. He never did. It was totally something different for his life. And we used to go to the family reunion and he'd be there and he loved to watch me play softball and baseball because I was active and I knocked the ball a long ways and I run around the bases and I dive for that. And he used to laugh and he'd cheer me on and all that. And he always challenged me because I always said, I wonder if I can have the same attitude that he had about this. I couldn't imagine never of being able to run like that. And it always touched me that he wasn't able to. But I didn't give him his cup. I didn't give me my cup. And I didn't give you your cup. But we all have a cup. And when Jesus looked at his cup, he said, should I not drink it? This is from my Father. This is the best plan for me. I can look at it and say, this is a bitter cup. This is a hurtful cup. This is a painful cup. This is an emotional cup. This is a hard cup. But the question is, shouldn't I drink it? Should I keep the cup from my mouth? Should I try to do something to stop the plan of the... Or should I say, Lord, help me to drink my cup. This is what God has planned for every... And this cup is as individual as our fingerprints. Nobody has a cup like my cup. Nobody has the same thing in it as my knee. But I'll say this. I need to be thankful for my cup, because this comes from God for eternity. This is something that God has planned for my life. And if you look at it and say, what's just about somebody being born like this that never gets what everybody else has had? I'll tell you what justice is. Justice is called salvation. Salvation makes it all the same. That I can go to heaven, then what does it matter? Is this what I need in life? And you know, it's what it makes all the arguments about how I was treated or what the world does or all that. It makes it senseless. Because it's my Father's cup. This is my Father's cup. And you look and say, look the way they're treating. This is my Father's cup. Oh, it can be brutal. It can be hard. It can leave you on a cross. Jesus said, my Father's cup puts me on a cross, but shouldn't I drink it? I'm glad he did. I'm glad he drank it for my salvation. And for your salvation, and he drank it, and he took that, but he done more than that. The scripture says that he bore the weight of the sins of the world. Do you understand that? I mean, I'll say I'm lacking here, but if it registers right as it is in my mind, the guilt, the sorrow, the hurt, the pain of all the sins of the world, he felt it. It was put on him. You say the suffering of the physical body that he felt, and we always exaggerate that, and maybe that's right, but can you imagine feeling all the guilt of the world? Can you imagine he became sin for us? Here's one that did no sin. He knew this was coming. He knew that place, but where the Father turns his head and he said, why have you forsaken? He knew all this was a part of it, and yet he tells Peter, put your sword up. Don't interfere in my cup. Shouldn't I drink the cup that the Lord has given me? Shouldn't I say, Lord, thank you, because your cup's right? I used this recently and used it before. I won't turn to it, but it's Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. What thoughts? Oh, Lord, what thoughts do you have? See, if you read that passage, you can go back a few verses and find out that he just told them, you all go into captivity. You've been doing idolatry, and you do all that, and the mercy and love of God is going to arrest you, and I'm going to send you down to Babylon for 70 years. Now, you imagine this proclamation comes down. You're going to send you down there for 70 years into Babylon, where you're going to be a slave, and you're going to be under somebody else's ownership, and you're going to go down there, and then he says, but I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They're of good, not of evil. To give you an expected end. I'm giving you a cup. I'm giving you a cup because I care about you. This cup's going to be different than your forefathers had. It's going to be different than them. This is going to be a different cup. But drink it. Drink it. Drink all of it. Now, I don't want to make a point about a cup. It's not a 55-gallon drum, okay? There's a reason this is like this. This he didn't say, I'll give you Grand Lake, or I'm going to give you the Pacific Ocean, or I'm going to give you the Neosho River, or no. It's a cup, if I may say, only a cup. It's only a cup. And you know what that says? You know what it's supposed to mean, the cup? It means you can drink it. That's what it means. It's a cup that you can drink. God is not trying to make a hippo climb a tree. He's not going to ever call one to climb a tree. He's not going to put you in that kind of place. He's going to give you a cup. And in that cup is going to be filled with the things that's right for your life. There's going to be challenges in that cup sometimes. There's going to be heartaches in that. There's going to be places that's going to make you say, Lord, I need you. Lord, help me with this. And I want to say this. I don't know how you're supposed to drink the cup sometimes, but sometimes the cup is bitter. It's just plain bitter. I remember one time, and I know Brother Dan's going to know what I'm talking about. Years ago, I used to try all these different things, and there was a certain, I don't know what they called it, a diet or what it was supposed to be exactly, but it was the lemonade diet. Brother Dan knows what I'm talking about, so it was a lemonade diet. So I'm always trying these things, so I tried this lemonade diet, and all you were supposed to drink, I don't know, it was a number of 21 days or something, I don't remember, it was a long time. But the only thing you're supposed to take in, well, you can drink water, but you're supposed to drink real lemonade with grade B maple syrup, I think it was. You sweeten it with it, and cayenne pepper. You put that, and that's all you consumed was that. And there was supposed to be enough in the maple syrup, and it was all this way, anyway. But the thing about it was is that every morning you were supposed to get up and drink a quart of warm salt water. And I said, I can do anything if it's just a quart. If it's just a quart. I mean, I can guzzle down a quart without stopping. I said, all right, this that won't be no problem to me to do the quart. Oh, I'm going to tell you. I know why he said cup. Because that quart of salt water got impossible for me. It's impossible. My gag reflex was too good for that. It was just, I couldn't do the salt water. I couldn't do the salt water thing. The Lord's got a cup. And in that cup is all the things that life holds. And folks, listen, we're so unique. We're so different. God knows where to put his hand to touch you. I don't know where to put it, but in God's cup, he knows how to console you. In that cup, sometimes when it looks like everything is dark and fallen completely apart, God knows that you need somebody in your cup, and he puts somebody in your cup for you. And there'll be somebody in there to comfort you when you need it. There'll be the right strength in there, the right vitamins is in there, the right proteins there. Everything that you need in life is in the cup. Don't fight the cup. This is my life. This is what the Lord has given me. Lord, help me to be what I should be with this cup. In this book of Job, remember that the Lord knows. He says, I know my thoughts towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Not of evil. See, I just told you something that everybody could interpret as bad and wrong. It's not good for me. But the Lord said, that's not what I'm accomplishing. To give you an expected end. God is driving the cup towards your expected end. Heartaches, sorrows. Sometimes we need a mountain to climb. Sometimes we need something ahead of us that looks bigger than we are so that we can say, God, help me. Lord, reach down and touch me. In the second of Job, second chapter of Job, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord.
And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the whole earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sores, boils, from the sole of his foot unto the crown of his unto his crown. And he took him a posture and to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. What do you think of that? An ungodly man, right? A man void of understandings. What is this that come upon this man, right? The obvious thought of the day was that you done something wrong. That's not supposed to be in your cup. You live for the Lord. Living for God then is theorized sometimes as icing. It's all cream. It's supposed to be smooth sailing. But that's not really the way it's depicted. It's not the truth. We're not perfect humans. We're not perfect beings. We need help. We need to be pushed. We need to be challenged. We need God to help us. So this is what was put into his cup. It says, Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. No, he said, That's my cup. That's my cup. The word evil there needs to be, it's not talking about wickedness or twisted or sinful. It's in the term of many in the Old Testament, the word evil meant an unpleasantry, something that befell you. And he was saying of all of the things of life, right? Should I accept the sunshine but not the rain? Should I glorify God when I'm feeling good, but I don't glorify him when I'm feeling bad? Should I glorify when things are going well in my crops? Should I glorify God when the crops all go well and not when the locusts hit them? Should I glorify God in these sections of my life but not make him God all the time? Job looks at that and simply says, Should I not drink my cup? You're talking as a foolish woman here. Should I not drink the cup that the Lord has given me? God has given me this cup to drink in my life. I didn't make it. If there's a God in heaven, he rules. If God is who he says he is, he's in control. I didn't make all these, and neither did you. We didn't make the circumstances of the world. We didn't do all of these things. If we've got to go through it, it's our cup. God gives us this cup. I'm not talking about accepting wrong or laziness or anything else. I'm talking about accepting the cup of my position. It's where I'm at. It's who I am. It's my. Don't ask me to do a cartwheel because can't do one. I can be different, and God gives me a cup that fulfills my needs, that helps me in my life,
And I can want and desire certain things, but it's not really me. I'm partially musical. That's the best I am. I don't hear all the sounds that you hear. I have to come to the realization, I don't hear it like you do. How can I do it back? I'd love to be able to do it. And God can make anything, but it's not me. Understand? And God gave me that cup. But within that cup, there's something to bless with. There's something to build on. There's something that's right in there, in that cup that the Lord gives me. What is the greatest stories of the Bible? Do you know, in a sense, all the great stories of the Bible was of people that accepted their cup and drank their cup and came out victorious with what God had allowed them to go through? God didn't have to allow Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to face that. He put it in their cup. This cup is of the Lord. This is cup of the Lord to bring glory to God here in this kingdom. And that's what he done. He used Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, faithful stewards of God's things, to put him in that situation. He drank it. They all drank it. They well, I'm not careful in answering you this. If we perish, we perish. But God can deliver us. But we're not bowing down, because that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're going to drink the cup that the Lord give us here. What did Daniel do? We love these stories. What did Daniel do? He drank the cup. He drank the cup that the Lord gave him. But Daniel was an honored man. Daniel was lifted up and he was honored, and they saw the spirits of the gods in him. He was glorified in a way. But then God allowed there to be mischief. But why? Such a faithful man. Is it possible? Is it possible? You know, in the life of Job, there's a real idea there. God testified of Job to Satan. Have you considered him? Now, here's a man for you. For his day and time, he loves God. He loves good. He escheweth evil. But was Job a perfect man? You know, when God got through with Job, his testimony was, I've seen him. Oh, Job got to saying some things, didn't he? And the Lord said, Job, where was you at when I created? If I was hungry, you think I'd call for you, Job? You want to do anything this way? Job at the end said, I come forth as pure gold. There's something worked there in Job, didn't it? I hung true and drank my cup, and God worked in my life. Is it possible, even the great men, they needed a touch from God? Is it possible that Daniel needed just a little bit more? Did God work and say, here's one faithful, try this one, and he tried him. And what did he do? He was given a cup. He was given a cup. What are you going to do with your cup? He didn't keep the window shut. He drank his cup. Here's my cup. The Lord gave me a cup. Now I'm going to drink the cup. And he went through his window up, and he prayed just like he always did, like he did aforetime. He done it up. I'm going to drink my cup. It's going to be bitter. They're going to accuse it, but I'm going to drink my cup. Lord, you gave me the cup, and I'm going to drink it. I know what's right. I'm going to drink the cup. He drank the cup, and sure enough, here's heartache and all those things. And yet in all that, Daniel didn't throw off on the king. He didn't say, you're ugly, you're stupid, you shouldn't have done that, or you're a bad politician, or none of the stuff that he said. He said, bless the Lord. Oh, live forever, king. A good steward. He had drunk the cup. He drunk the cup, and what was in it for him? But wasn't that true with all of those that was faithful? Look at Hebrews and the great cloud of witnesses that he lists there, of those, and there was those that was torn apart by lions, and there was those that was sawn asunder, and there was those that suffered, and they'd done all of that, and some of them wouldn't even take deliverance, and all of these things, and this, and what did they do? They drank their cup. God, for their time, gave them something. God, for Abraham's time, said, told him to sojourn, to leave your land and sojourn in the land of promise. And by faith, he went out and he moved and he went through that and he drank a cup. Wasn't pleasant. Oh, everything wasn't right, but he drank it because that's what God gave him. Did God call everybody to sojourn? No, he didn't call everybody out. He called Abraham out. Did he call everybody to Moses' work? No, he called Moses to Moses' work. Joshua didn't have to be Moses, but he had to follow what God wanted him to do after that. He gave Joshua a cup too. Here, drink your cup, Joshua. And then right on down. Oh, there were some failures and faults with many of those people. David, drink your cup. Drink your cup. Here's where I put you in here and where you're at. Just drink your cup. This is what's just part of it. And then for some reason, Solomon seemed cushy. Well, I mean, for his age, for his time, he was cushy. Peace had been won by David. They had won the battles and all that, and God brought peace to them. And then what happens? Here's Solomon. Solomon, drink your cup faithfully. Oh, Solomon, he kind of got away there a little bit. Oh, Solomon, drink your cup. For every one of us and all the differences that we have, I believe that God has a cup that he mixes. Yes. A cup, not a gallon jug, not a big barrel, not a drum. He gives us a cup. That cup is what's an acceptable measure of what we drink.
Yes.
And he gives us a cup. And we all can drink. It's not beyond us. Sometimes we look at it and just say, I just can't hardly drink the cup. There was a young man that came to the Lord one time and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord told him, keep the commandments. Do follow this, this, this. And he said, I've kept them from my youth up. What lackest I yet? And the Lord loved him and said to him, go and sell all that you have. Did he tell everybody that? Did he? No. It didn't matter for everybody. It wasn't everybody's cup. It was this man's cup. And he said, go sell all that you have, give to the poor, take up your cross and follow me, and you'll have riches in heaven. He didn't tell everybody that because everybody's cup doesn't need that. His cup needed it. And so he gave him the cup. Can I tell you something? There was no evidence that the man drank his cup. No, I don't know what went on, but he went away sorrowful because he was a man of riches. He went away sorrowful, and the Lord handed him a cup. Here's your cup. If you'll drink this, I can't drink that. Lord, help us tonight. This comes down, there was a place in the scripture where Jesus, I believe looking to Peter, said to Peter, I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for your faith. You know what? The Lord knew that Peter had a cup. He knew that he had a cup. And he said, I prayed for your faith. You need me to pray. I'll pray for your faith because you're going to need this faith. This is the essence of all. I'm going to tell you, this is the essence of what our faith is when we can drink the cup. Because it speaks to our love of our Heavenly Father. Lord, by faith I can drink this cup because I know you're the one handing it to me. You're the one giving me this. Folks, we all know this. We hear on a regular basis of our people, another sickness, another unto death. It's always been true, but I'm getting old enough that it's my generation. It's close home. I mean, we feel these things and see it. I'm getting up old enough that my children are starting talking about the aches and pains that I used to start talking about. And things are starting to change and all that. And how are we going to handle it? How are we going to deal with it? What's it going to be? The cup of the Lord.
Yes.
The cup of the Lord. When I pray, Lord, save my family. By faith, Lord, help them. Give them the cup. Right? Can we really say it? Do we really mean it? Lord, give me your cup. I want to drink my cup. Boy, it's hard to say, but Lord, help me. I want to drink the cup because that's my cup. Marty, the Lord will say, this is special mixed for you. Nobody else can drink it for you, but it's only a cup.
It's only a cup. It's within the human capability to take in and digest and put it in. And so the next time I hear and it gets close to home and the next thing that I hear and those things that I can say, as Jesus said to Peter, put your sword up, Peter. Don't get between my lips and my cup. Because I'm about to drink this cup. And the fruit that's going to come out of here when I drink this cup is going to be eternal. You pray for me. I'm not saying this so boldly, I'll tell you that. I know it takes a lot sometimes. Lord, give us grace to drink the cup. Amen.